Exodus chapter number 14 tonight. Exodus chapter number 14. Genesis, Exodus. And we're going to start with verse number 10 of chapter 14. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from the Bible. Tonight out of Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it has been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore crieth thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on the dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor unto Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I have gotten me honor unto the Pharaoh, and unto the chariots, and unto his horsemen. Verse 19, and the angel of the Lord, which went before them, before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Verse 20, and it came between the camp and the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness unto them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. I want to talk to you on the subject, four things about prayer. Four things we need to know about prayer. Or four sayings of God we need to know about prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this simple truth that we're about to receive. And I ask, Holy Spirit, you'd meet with us in a very special way. Teach us the truth. Help us to apply it. Help us to know that it's from you. And help us to understand it in a way that we could apply it to each one of our lives. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Anyone who were to study the life of Christ can't help but notice and to be impressed with the fact that Christ's peace during his day was unrifled, perfect spiritual poise. The Lord always knew what to say, if you will, and how to say it. And he always did the right thing, are you ready? With the right timing. Timing is everything, people say. Jesus' sense of the moment was flawless. If you ever noticed that, he always did the right thing at the right time in the right way and always affected the right people. Some things must never be done. Some things must always be done. And at certain times, a particular action is the only proper course of action. And in other times, even good things are inappropriate because the Lord is saying, not now. Now, in that one little statement I just read are the four important statements that we need to learn about prayer. To understand God's timing is to understand these four things. These words are never, always, at certain times, and not now. For often, that's how the Lord answers our prayer. If we'll learn to listen to these, we will avoid making tragic mistakes in our life. We'll avoid pitfalls and painful times. He will guide us into His perfect will as we pray. And in part, will be then living in the power and the Holy Spirit and His wisdom and His might, and we'll see things, if you will, from His point of view because we're following His guidance. Okay? So let's take a look at that. God's Word, never. God's Word, never. When it comes to prayer, sometimes God uses the word never. As Pharaoh's armies drew near, in the book of Exodus chapter 14, they were panicked. They were afraid. They were blaming Moses for delivering them in the first place from the hands of the Egyptians. They were upset. They thought it would have been better never to have left Egypt than to be out in that wilderness and have Pharaoh and his armies pursuing them with chariots with their backs to the sea. They were convinced that this was the end. They regretted believing the word of the Lord and that they were delivered by the hand of God through Moses. Gone, suddenly, was their memory of how God powerfully showed and vindicated the power of Moses as the leader of Israel by raining down plagues of blood and insects and illness and darkness and many things upon the Egyptians. Gone was their memory of how on the Passover night the angel of death passed over the firstborn of the Israelites and slaughtered all the firstborn of the Egyptians. They had forgotten that. In their moment of crisis, the Israelites could not remember that at once the faith of the Almighty God and how their faith in Him had changed everything. They forgot about how He proved His love to them and how He was faithful to them no matter what. They'd forgotten all those things. This is settling for what God doesn't want us to settle for. This is the setting that God puts the word never in. It's through Moses that He said, "Do not be afraid." He looked at the people of Israel and He told them, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today." God was telling the Egyptians through Moses that He was in control. Fear and timidity, or being timid when it comes to praying for things, are never God's will for His people. To be controlled by fear is death to faith. Let me say that again. To be controlled by fear is death to our faith. So God says, never be afraid. Never be afraid to come to God and ask Him for what you need. Never be afraid to go to your Heavenly Father and say, "Lord, I need Your help today." Never feel that you can't go to Him. He always wants you to go to Him. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So fear, then, is never an option for the child of God. When we ignore God's word to not be afraid, it saddens the Spirit of God that dwells in you and me and forfeits the blessings that God intends for you and I to have. In times of doubt and anxiety, Christians must distinguish themselves by their faith and their fearlessness. And there are many times of doubt and anxiety in a Christian's life, aren't there? So, the Bible declares some things. Look in Psalms 46, verse 1 through 3. If you don't want to turn there, I'll read it to you. You might want to just jot the reference down. Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very pleasant help in a time of trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof," Selah, So here we see in Psalm 46 that no matter what's going on around us, even if the world seems like it's shaking to pieces and coming to an end, and the mountains are trembling and they're falling and the sea is rising, that's kind of like a time of trouble, don't you think? God says, don't be afraid. Yet fear often embraces you and I. We should begin each and every day reminding ourselves that never is a word from God. Never be afraid. Never be afraid of what's going on around us because God is in control. When we're afraid, we're forgetting that God's in control. We're thinking everything's just happening and He doesn't know what's going on. But wait a minute, is not God in control of everything? Does He not know everything that's going on? We are not to fear no matter how bad the news is or how dire the world may seem to be, since God then is still in control. To live in fear is as much disobedience as lying or stealing. It's just as big a sin as murder to live in fear. The same God who said, do not covet, also declares to us that we're never to fear. After witnessing the 10 plagues in the Passover night and the plunder of the Egyptians, the pillar of fire during the day and the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud at the day, guiding the children of Israel, they should have known that they could trust the Lord. Even with the chariots chasing them, they should have known God was in control. God would never forsake them at the Red Sea after doing so much to deliver them. Yet, that was their concern, wasn't it? They've forgotten all of that. I wonder why Israel's faith was so small. Yet, when I think of our own lives, when crises occur in our life, our faith becomes small in God as well. Sometimes we forget about how much God does love us and how much He does care. Do we need to remember in our life on a daily basis how He delivered us from eternal hell? How He's given us heaven? How we have transgressed His law and He's given us an everlasting salvation anyway? And that our great Savior has gone to prepare a place for us. And if He's gone to prepare a place for us, He'll come and get us again. He hasn't forgotten us. He knows we're here. He knows what's going on. He knows what's taking place today. He knows what's taking place in your home. He knows what's taking place at your job. He knows what's taking place with your family. He knows what's taking place with your children. He lives in you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God dwells in you and I. Since God knows all of this, then why are we afraid when things happen in our life? Psalm 23. It's a wonderful psalm. The 23rd psalm is often read at the death of somebody. But it shouldn't be a psalm of death. It should be a psalm of confidence. Here's what it says. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, that doesn't sound like death, does it? The only part that's in there says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not what death is. That's this world here. While I'm living here, it seems like everything wants to perish around me. And I have a great confidence in God. Look how powerful, look how positive God is in the 23rd Psalm. That I have nothing to be afraid of. He's there with me. Even if all of my enemies surround me and I'm about to be slaughtered, or it seems like it, which is what they were going through in the book of Exodus, He said, I prepare us a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Yet we forget about those words. We forget that goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life, don't we? We dwell on the unsure. The I'm not sure what's going to happen next. The, well, it just seems everything's falling apart. This is never going to work. Isn't that what we dwell on? And yet God says we should never dwell there. I want my prayers to be answered. So I need to remember the never word. In Psalm 34, in verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Wow, what a statement. Psalm 34, 4 is a verse that we all should memorize. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He promises to hear us every time we pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee. So I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. What is it that you fear? What is it that you're not sure of? Go to God with those things, because we never have to fear, ever. And those are things we ought to bring to Him in prayer. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 24 and 25. When thou layest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lay down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So there is going to be a desolation of the wicked, and it's going to come. But I don't need to fear it. I'm not the wicked. You're not the wicked. God doesn't miss. Hey, listen, think about this with me for a moment. If God knew where every firstborn Israelite child was on the day of Passover, and He missed every one of them, the death angel did, don't you think He knows where you and I are? And can't He take care of us when judgment falls on those around us who will not do that which is right? So I have nothing really to fear. A great president of ours in our country once said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear ruins a nation, and fear ruins our faith. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. In what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. So there are going to be times when we're afraid. I've been afraid. I'm sure you've been afraid. In times I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God, I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Well, that's that. That's other people. God tells us don't be afraid. Just believe. In fact, in Mark chapter 5, verse 36, He puts it very plainly. As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, He said unto the rulers of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. How can you be more blunt than that right there? Be not afraid. Only believe. Believe in what? Believe in Jesus Christ. Don't believe in me. Don't believe in the church. Don't believe in a religion. Don't believe in people. Believe in Jesus Christ. He is the all-powerful one. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 says this. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which I will show you today. For the Egyptians whom thou hast seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Which brings me to our next set of words. God's always word. God always, always is our next word. Always. God's always word. God always stands firm in His faith no matter what's happening around you and me. We ought to always then stand firm in His Word no matter what's happening to you and me. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith, it says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 13, it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So I should always stand in the faith. In the faith that I can depend on Jesus Christ. So the first word that we've learned already was that never. The second word we've learned already is always. I ought to always stand on that faith in Jesus Christ. Because faith is what set me free. And if you're free, you're free to indeed. Sometimes, or most of the time, we have faith. But God says we ought to always have faith and be courageous in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, it says this: "Not for that ye have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." So, I need to know by faith I can stand. So, I learned I'm never supposed to fear, but how am I supposed to overcome that when it comes to my prayers? By standing in faith. How do I know God's going to answer my prayer? Because He said so. How do I know that? Faith. Faith. Call Jeremiah 33:3 again. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. So that's faith. God has to keep His word. So I've got to stand in faith then. I'll stand firm in my faith. In Isaiah 7, verse 9, the last half of the verse, it says, "If we don't stand firm, we will not stand at all." Wow! What a statement. That's plain. That sounds like somebody would say today. It doesn't even sound like it's written in the Bible, does it? Let me read it again. If we don't stand firm, we will not stand at all. Wow! So if I can't stand firmly in my faith, then I'm not going to stand in my faith at all. Because truly, faith is based on not doubting, not worrying. Okay, God, I've given it to you. Now you take care of it. I'm going to back off. If I doubt, it brings fear. And when am I supposed to have fear? Never. So I must stand in faith. Stand firm in my faith. So I ought to always have faith. So God says always. Never fear. Always have faith. Because when I do that, I can stand. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39 says this: "Canst not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." What's God's will? That we pray. So what's He going to do? Keep His promise. Let me continue reading. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." And faith in what? Faith that I have done the will of God. I have prayed like I'm supposed to pray. He's going to keep His promise. And if I'll just be patient, He'll show up. But what we do is we run short on patience and we take God's place and we say, "God never answered my prayer, so I better handle it." That's where we fall short. So He's addressing this in Hebrews chapter 10 very clearly then, isn't He? "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So no matter what, I know I'm on my way to heaven because I've trusted Christ by faith. So then I should take that same faith and give it to God in my prayer. Because when I put that same kind of faith in Him, then I can always stand knowing He'll keep His word. So I never need to fear, so I can always stand. So I can always trust Him. Again, don't trust me, always trust Him. Don't trust people, always trust God. He'll do things that we'll never believe that He could do if we'll just spend the time trusting Him. No matter what or who threatens us, we must seek the face of God and look to Him in faith. Don't lose our confidence. Don't look to others. Cling to Christ and we won't fall away. Always trust Him. So we've learned two things so far. We learned never to fear, always trust Him, and then at certain times. The third statement when it comes to prayer, at certain times. The way God works for one is not the way He will always work in every situation. I'll say that again. That's an important thing for us to learn. The way God works for one day, or for one, will not always be the way He works in every situation. Every situation is different. God's perfectly balanced and perfectly understands everything that's going around Him. So He doesn't always respond the exact same way, the exact same time, in the exact same situation, because there's never an exact same situation. In Scripture we see people of Israel with their backs to the wall. That's what we read in Exodus chapter 14, wasn't it? Verse 14, here's what it said. In verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. In this particular issue, God is telling the people of Israel, don't do anything. Watch what I'm going to do. So there's sometimes, at certain times, He tells us to do nothing at all. They prayed. God answers. He's going to give them the victory. What are they supposed to do? Just stand back and watch. Is that right? Yeah. Why? Because He's going to open up the Red Sea. They're going to cross the Red Sea. They're going to be safe. Does He tell them to take up arms? No. Does He tell them to get their spears out and get some bow and arrows out and to send out some men and an army to defend them? No. He says, watch what I do. And He takes that pillar of cloud and moves it from the front of the Israelites to the back of the Israelites. And it gives light to the Israelites and darkness to the Egyptians while the Red Sea is parted and they walk on dry ground. If we were to read the rest of the story in Exodus, we'd find out that they get over on dry ground, then the Lord brings the water back together, and they start to cross over, trying to pursue the Israelites. And they start out where the ground is dry, but then God brings the water on them, and they all drown and die. Now we know the story, but they didn't. They were living it at that moment. It's easy to look back and see, oh yeah, that's what's going to happen, and say, oh, that's the story right there. But when you're standing there, and the Egyptians are bearing down on you, and you know you're going to die, at least that's what you think. We would probably react very similarly to that the Israelites did. Fear, doubt, forget our faith, forget our trust. And we would have wanted to act it too. But in this case, God said to them, just stand back and watch what I do. There's nothing that they could have done to deliver themselves. There was no power in them to deliver themselves. The power was in Christ. Yet, He doesn't always work that way. Here they're to watch. And that's what happens. But there's other times when God's people have to fight or do something. For example, Israel had overcome the city of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. So I'm going to turn over to Joshua chapter 6. Now let's read in Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse number 6. And Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn, passed on before the Lord, and blew the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rewarder came after, came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, he shall not shout, nor make any noise with thy voice, neither shall words proceed out of thy mouth until the day I bid thee to shout. Then shall ye shout. So, at this point, they're not supposed to do anything but march. They're not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to have conversation. They're not supposed to yell. They're not supposed to shout. They're not supposed to do anything. Just be quiet and walk. Sometimes that can be hard. Sometimes it's hard to keep a child quiet. Yet they're all supposed to be quiet. Men, women, children. So the ark of the Lord, verse 11, compassed the city going about once, and then under the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. And sorry, I had to turn my page. And the armed men went before him, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpet. And the second day, they compassed the city once, and returned unto the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early in the drawing of the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass that the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in her house, because they hid the messengers of thy servant because she hid the messengers that we sent. And yet in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest ye make yourselves accursed, and you take to the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it." Verse number 19. "But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and ye shall come unto the treasury, of the Lord." So the people shouted with the priests that blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went unto the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Wow. How about that? They had to do something, didn't they? They just didn't stand back this time. They had to march around the city. They had to be quiet. When it was time to shout, they shouted. Once they shouted, they had to go to work. They had to take the city. And they had to go do some things. So at certain times, there's certain things that God asks us to do. Sometimes we have to sit back and watch. Sometimes we have to shout for His glory. Sometimes we have to go to work and get involved. Unfortunately, most of the Christian world assumes today that we're just supposed to sit back and wait for the Lord to do everything. But there are certain times this isn't true. The more often we are to pray, we are to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray, and then we're to do our best to do the work of God as best as we can do it. Then God will do everything else. For example, we're supposed to invite people to church. We're not just supposed to pray and wait for God to send people to church. Just because we have a building and we have a steeple on the top of the building and everybody in the area knows it's a church, that doesn't mean folks are just going to automatically come. We're going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to pray that God will send people. But wait, in the meantime, we're going to go out and knock doors. "Hi, my name is Doug Marco. I'm the new pastor over at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we sure would love to invite you to church. We're going to invite folks to church. We're going to give out the gospel message. If you were to die today, you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Would you like to know how you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happens the rest of your life, you would go straight to heaven when you die? Would you like to take that promise? We're going to give out the gospel message. We're going to have special times. We're going to run the buses. We're going to run vans. We're going to encourage people to come. We're going to give the invitation at the church services for folks to get saved and to be baptized. We're going to get out there and we're going to do the work the best we can. But we're going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to pray. And God's going to do what we can't do." And He does, doesn't He? We go out and knock doors and people we don't even know, people we didn't even talk to, come to church. "Oh, we left a track in the door." Found a track in the door. Came to church. That's how you came. Man, God's good, isn't He? Didn't even talk to you and you showed up. And that's happened with many people in our church. Why? Because we've been out there doing the work, but we just didn't do the work. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and continued to do the work. And we just didn't pray and pray and pray and pray. We did both. So at certain times, we must do certain things so that God will meet the needs of that situation. We must have the power of God and the guiding hand of God do everything. So when I pray, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead me, because at certain times, God, who never changes, always does what He says He's going to do, but at certain times He wants us to do them in different ways. I have a lot more examples, but I'm not going to use them. We're going to move on to number 4. We've learned that God says never. God says always. God says at certain times, never fear. Always have faith. At certain times, you need to do things in different ways because of different situations. And then number four, when God says not now. Sometimes when we pray, God says not now. But what's that mean? Rarely do we read of God telling somebody to stop praying. But that's what He says in chapter 14 of the book of Exodus. Here they are. We just read this. Exodus chapter 14. In verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? What are you praying for? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I've already told you what to do. So why are you coming back and praying to me again? I already told you what to do. I already answered your prayer. I told you, go on. Keep going. So don't pray right now. Get to work. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, for the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Prayer is precious to God. But there are times when it's not time to pray. He wants us from faith and in faith to do what He told us to do to begin with. Walking by faith, doing what God said. He's not always saying, I'm not going to answer your prayers now. He's saying, I don't want you to pray at this moment. I want your actions. Action of walking by faith, doing what I've already told you to do. Let me illustrate that. God says that we're supposed to tithe. Tithing is 10%. But here, okay, so if I make $100 this week, God says I'm supposed to give $10. So I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, please, I need to give to you, but Lord, I want to give to you. And God said, okay, I gave you money this week. I gave you $250. So give $25. You say, well, I can't afford to give $25. If you knew my budget, well, that's not what God said. Don't give when it's in your budget. He says, tithe. And then I will bless you. You say, well, God, I need this money, but tithe, and then I will bless you. But Lord, I got it. But tithe, and then I can bless you. But Lord, but tithe, and then I can bless you. What's so hard for us to understand that? But it's hard for us to understand, isn't it? Because God says if we'll give, He'll give more. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, will He give to our bosom. Is that what He says? Did He promise that? So we're supposed to tithe. So that means if I made $500 this week, I should put $50 in the plate. That's a tithe. But Lord, I don't really have the tithe, so I'm going to tip you. Because you really meant tip me. No, He said tithe, not tip. So I'm going to give God what God said to give. But Lord, I'm going to pray that you bless my finances. I can't bless your finances till you do what you said to do, what I said to do. So tithe so I can bless your finances. Moses, go over. But Lord, the army's pursuing. I know that. It's not time for you to pray. I already know what's going on. I'm going to handle it. Put your rod out there, like I said, and let the water spread apart. But Lord, but nothing. Do what I told you to do so I can do what I said I was going to do. God's limited by our faith. Wow, did you just hear what I said? The Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God is limited by our faith. He can only do as much as we allow Him to do by faith. God wants to bless you and me. God never asked you and never asked me to do anything that would hurt us. Never. 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 Now, we don't interpret it that way. We say, Lord, how come I can't have my way? God didn't say it would be your way. It would be His way. And His way is always the right way. Though we don't always like His way. Because His way makes us go through, sometimes we go through difficulties, heartaches, or sometimes we have to go through tough times. But in those tough times, He says, what are we never supposed to do? Fear. So when it comes, for example, to tithing, the first thing that most people do when it comes to learning to give to God, what God wants us to give, is worth. Well, Lord, I'm afraid we're not going to make my bills today. I'm not going to make my bills this month. Don't be afraid. Trust me. Trust me. I can't bless you till you trust me. I can't help you till you trust me. So don't fear. So if I don't fear, then I continue to go to Him in prayer, doing what I'm supposed to do by faith. So then I know that He's always going to answer because He's promised that by faith, hasn't He? So I'm not going to fear, never fear. Always trust Him in faith, believing He's going to do it. He's not always going to do it the exact same way, so at certain times He's going to do it in different ways. Sometimes, I remember, especially in our early Christian life, as we were trying to do our best for the Lord, we'd come to the place where I don't know where we're going to get the money to pay the bills, and suddenly a check would come in the mail. How do you explain that? I don't know. I remember one year, I thought God had said, okay, the IRS is going to take care of it by giving you your refund. Okay? And I kept waiting for that refund to come. Boy, I couldn't wait because I wanted to pay this bill when the refund came. Then the letter came from the IRS that I made a mistake on my taxes. And I wasn't going to get the refund. And I didn't make a mistake. I went through it and I checked it again and there was no mistake. So I sent a letter to them. A long letter explaining step by step what I did, step by step what it says, and step by step how they still owed me $151. To me, $151 is a lot of money. In the meantime, I still had those bills to pay. So now we had to figure out a different way to pay the bills. And I thought, we're never going to see this money. It's never going to happen. I sent the letter back to the IRS. They sent me some form. I had to fill out some form. Then I sent that form back. I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 weeks later, we got a check. $151. You're right. We were wrong. Whoa! How about that? That's a good thing. But it didn't come when I thought it was going to come. So God doesn't always work the exact same way every time. It's according to the situation. But in the meantime, I need to continue on. I need to continue to walk with Him. And sometimes He says, don't worry about it right now. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just keep on doing the right thing. Just keep on telling people to go. So Moses already told, Lord already told Moses not to stop. And the Lord looked at Moses and says, go forward. Don't stop. Keep going. I'll be there. I'll take care of you. Keep doing the right thing. Sometimes we struggle in our churches. And what we do is we stop. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He lays barriers there in front of us. And I've been in this business for 35 years now. That's a long time. And the same roadblocks He laid 15 years ago, and 25 years ago, and 35 years ago, He's still throwing out in front of me today. His tricks haven't changed. He's still trying to stop me in the same way He's always tried to stop me. Satan's desire is to stop us. If he can stop us, he's succeeded. His tricks haven't changed. He's been doing the same thing since the beginning of man. He uses the same things over and over and over again in your life and my life. And God says, okay, as you pray, keep going. Don't stop and just pray. Just keep going while you're praying. Pray always. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. That means keep on praying as you're going forward. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Because it's not always the way we think it's going to be. So sometimes I think we misunderstand God's not right now. We think not right now means He's not going to give it to us. But His not right now is keep going forward and let me take care of it because you've not got there yet. And when you arrive, I intend to do it, but you haven't got there. You ever been on a trip somewhere and the kids keep saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You've only been on the road for 45 minutes and it's a 5-hour trip. They want to know 5 times if you're there yet. The answer is no, but we're getting there. Not now. Not right now. Not right. Well, when are we going to get there? We'll get there when we get there. But just be patient. We're going to get there. Not right now. That's the same thing God does to us. Now, did we stop driving then? No, we kept on driving. The not now is we're not there yet. So keep doing what you're supposed to do. When you get there, I'll be there to take care of you. And sometimes we forget that. The act of walking by faith is as important to God as praying then. So while we're praying, we need to walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need to continually, diligently seek him then by faith as we're going forward. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out into the place which he should not receive an inheritance, obeyed and went not out knowing whither he went. In other words, he didn't know where he was going. So he went by faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength and conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So by faith, all these things are done. By faith, lives are changed. By faith, destiny is changed. By faith, God says, not now. Trust me, you're not there yet. When you get there, you'll know I'm there as well. So oftentimes in prayer, in our generation of instantaneous things, we expect, pray, here it is. Pray, here it is. Pray, here it is. Pray, here it is. That's not how God works though. And so what happens is, when it doesn't get delivered exactly when we think it should, we become afraid, don't we? And we give up. Because we don't think God's going to handle it. Then we walk outside of faith and do it ourselves. But God says, never be afraid. Always have faith. At certain times, I'm going to answer in certain ways. Just keep on doing the right thing. And sometimes he's saying, not now, because we haven't got there yet. And when you get there, he'll be there. I pray all the time for our church finances. I pray that we make enough money through our offerings to pay our bills. So far, so good. It's close this month, just being honest with you. I counted up the offering from this morning, and I said, oh man, I'm only this much short. I got a letter this week from somebody else that said that we overpaid a bill and they're going to send us a check for $113. Oh, yeah. When that comes, I got to the end of the month to make so much more money, which is not very much, to pay the rest of the bills for this month for our church. Huh. I think God's going to pull it out. I'm going to continue to pray, though. He's saying, not yet, as I'm praying. Because I didn't get the full amount today in today's offering that I really wanted to have. I'd like to get it all out of the way today. So I don't have to worry about it the rest of the month. Wouldn't that be nice? But that's not how it works. I'm not there yet. On my way there, I'll keep on praying, but I'll keep on doing what's right. I'll keep on knocking doors. We'll keep on having church. We'll keep on turning on the lights. We haven't fallen behind in any bills. Everything's being paid on time. Boy, God's good. I'll write some checks this week for some bills with the money we have in the account to cover a few more bills. I got more time on the bills that are left. Yeah, I'm confident God's going to do it in His time and in His way instead of being the instantaneous generation that I'd like it to be today. I prayed I should have it. Why? Because that's how God works. All I got to do is walk by faith. By faith. Let me read one more verse. Reread it to you. And we're done for tonight. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. God's good. He takes care of us. And He'll take care of you and me as we continue to pray. So pray without ceasing, like the Bible says. But remember those four things we've learned tonight. Never fear. Always walk in faith. At certain times, He does things in certain ways. And sometimes when God says not now, it's because we haven't got there yet. And when we get there, it'll be all right. But keep on praying while we're going. Just keep on going. Father, I thank You for what we've learned tonight.